Jordan asked you if y'all were tired this morning. Is anybody tired? Been a busy weekend for some people. Some of you helped with a wedding this weekend, and I know some of y'all are worn out. And I made it through the wedding yesterday and did all that. And then I went to the Beacon last night to get my oil changed. And and I ate a perch sandwich. Aren't you proud of me? I did good. Simply for the fact that I already loaded up at a wedding reception. And then got the call last night about, I woke up about 1:30. It's nothing unusual for me to wake up at night, but I woke up about 1:30 just with an overwhelming sense that I needed to pray for something. And I didn't know what it was, and I talked to God a little bit, and I said, well, God, I don't know really what I'm supposed to be praying for, but I'll just go back to sleep here in a few minutes. And so I rolled over and was heading back to sleep, and the phone rang, and it was Arlene, and she said that Betty had gone on home to be with the Lord, and that Raymond could probably use me over there. So I stayed over there at about 4:30, and came back home and tried to get some sleep and got up about 6:30 as my Sunday routine. I say all that to say that if you're tired, I feel your pain. But I say that to say that if my PowerPoint has some really crazy stuff in it this morning, you will understand, because I do those on Sunday morning. Ron, I don't come in and hear a sermon on Sunday mornings like you accuse me sometimes. But the process that I do in my mind is this, that I try to seek God's guidance in planning a sermon all week. And then I go over it in my head time and time and time again. And I always tell Ann, I preach myself to sleep every night. And she says, you do it on church on Sunday morning for us. So, but I hope not always. But then I come in on Sunday mornings early and try to put it all together in a PowerPoint thing. And so I had some pretty jacked up coffee this morning. And so if it's something there that is not quite right, we'll know it. But I say to you this, be in prayer for Raymond. If there is ever a picture of a godly husband, it's Raymond Lyles. For those of you who do not know them, Betty, her mind went away, I guess is the best way I can put it. And she had to be put in Oakland Living, and Raymond changed his whole lifestyle. He moved in with her at Oakland Living to care for her. And Ann, if my mind ever goes, I don't expect you to do that, but if you do, God will bless you. She'd probably kick me to the curb. Y'all take care of him. He's ornery. No. But Raymond is having a tough time dealing with that. And so please keep Raymond in your prayers and Lynn and Bill. And the funeral will probably be Wednesday. All that's not set in plumb stone yet, because we've got to meet with the funeral home. But they were talking about Raymond having some health problems, and I said that I wish I had time sometime to educate people on what proper procedure is going through a funeral line. Let me give you a word of advice. Let the family know you're caring for them. Say a few good words and move on. I was at a funeral where the man in front of me spent at least 5 minutes with every family member telling the same story. And by the time we got to the end of the line, I started just pushing him out of the way and said, let me tell the story. But the line was held up for seemingly miles. And there's people behind you in line that sometimes are elderly. Give them a good word and move on. Call them in 2 or 3 weeks and go sit with them when they really need somebody to talk about all the past. Does that make sense? And that's not complaining. That's just the people in line at a funeral service are worn out to begin with. And make it as simple as possible. And because I know Raymond's family was so worried about, did he have the stamina to just sit there for hours and hours? And so I told him we'd try to do it all in one day. And then at 10 to 3, if we have the funeral at 3, we'll tell everybody, oops, sorry, you're done. And we'll take care of it. But just use common sense. And that's not complaining, but sometimes we just don't think. And so we'll try to do that. Our lesson today, or sermon, is more 5 for 30. And I hope you've enjoyed the 5 for 30. It's been beneficial to me. And I've still got some of these 5 for 30 things. People have asked me because they give them away. I've given 3 or 4 away. People will see them on my arm and say, what's it about? And I will tell them. And I've been able to witness doing that. But they're down front. Be down here after service. So if you didn't get one of these bands or you've given yours away, we've had several people give them away, come and get another one. But it's amazing how God has worked. And out of the 5 people the first week that I chose to pray for, 4 of those has really worked out real well. But one, I haven't seen the person yet. But maybe God's preparing the door to open so I can share Christ with them. So keep doing those things. And last week we talked about complaining, and it's amazing the comments I heard all week. People say, well, I'm just saying, I'm not complaining now, Bruce. But don't complain. But our lesson today is going to be 5 P's, and I aggravate Ann to death. Bless her heart, y'all pray for her. She has to put up with me. But she always says, what you preaching on Sunday? I said, God. And she said, I know that, but what you talking about? I said, well, this week it's 5 P's, and she went through all kinds of P-letter words or whatever, and you didn't get any of them right. You thought you did. You said, I know I got them right, but you didn't. You'll find out here in a few moments. But the passage of Scripture that I chose, and we've got to get moving fast. We'll get you out on time, I promise. And I got enough coffee in me. I'll get energetic here in just a minute. But we're going to be reading Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. And it's a familiar passage. You'll know it when we get there. You can look in your Bibles. That's the best way to read Scripture, open your Bibles up. And I try to use the NIV every week to be consistent. Many of us grew up with the King James Bible, and the King James is beautiful, but people that haven't grown up in church don't understand the King James Bible. And Dr. Cassino from down at Gardner Webb said if King James were alive today, he'd read the NIV, and that makes sense. And for you, sometimes maybe I ought to do the Message because it works so well. But we're going to be reading it, and so you can look at the phones, the iPads, whatever you have. Begin reading verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said these things. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the start of the Sermon on the Mount. And I know youth, y'all been going over Matthew in youth, so maybe Jordan's already told you, but listen again, you can never get too much of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew it begins, Jesus, we know, was born. He was called to ministry. But John baptized him, and the Spirit came upon him. And immediately he went into the wilderness, and he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And that was a time of prayer and fasting and him getting his ducks in a row about what his heavenly Father wanted him to do here on earth. And then Jesus, we see, calls his disciples, and then he begins to heal the sick. And then he basically begins his public ministry, and great crowds are following him. But you think about it. If all of a sudden this morning I said, how many of you have an ailment? And you can, Ron, come down here and I slap you like you asked me if that would work or whatever. You have those public healers. Next week we'd have a house full, wouldn't we? Because you'd go to church a whole lot cheaper than you can go to the doctor. And if it works here, sometimes it doesn't work at the doctor, then people are going to show up. And that's kind of what people were gathered around Jesus, because word had gotten out that he is something new on the scene and that he was healing people. And then he gives his first public sermon, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a beautiful, beautiful work of art. And he starts off with the Beatitudes. What a word. It is a noun that means supreme blessedness, or as we used to always say, blessedness, because we like the King James terminology. But it is blessedness, or a benediction, or grace, or getting more. And Jesus says that if you will do these things, then you will be blessed. He gives things like, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will always shall see God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. And blessed for those who are persecuted, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. The things that we know, that we've learned all of our life, for those of us who have been in church, and the way that I've always taught this to kids is this, that these are not just the Beatitudes, but these are the be attitudes. That if these will be our attitudes, we will be okay in the eyes of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of simple-minded. And I know that if I take on these attitudes that God, that Jesus himself gave us, then that I will be pleasing in the eyes of God. And so for the next 30 days, I challenge you to do these things. The five P's for the coming up. The first is the poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit, and we'll talk about that. The next is to be powerless. We always talk about being powerful, but we're going to talk about being powerless. Then pure in heart, and peacemakers, and persecuted. Didn't get any of them right, did you? You had some good peas, but they weren't right. And so let's get started. Jesus says that blessed are you when you are poor in spirit. I like what the Message, the contemporary version of the Bible that speaks to us so much in our language, says. It says, you are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. One scholar says, if you will put humble in there, maybe that's a better rendition of the Greek word that we can understand, that when we are humble and give everything to God, we will be blessed. Isn't that so hard? To realize that we are blessed when we recognize that we are spiritually helpless. Oh, don't we want to make decisions of ourselves? God, I pray to you today that your will be done. God, show me what you want me to do today. That is my prayer every morning. And then I do it myself. I forget to leave it to God. And then when God shows me something to do, sometimes I really don't want to do it. Y'all ever been there? Y'all probably better than me. God, let me be a good witness for you today. And you have a chance to witness, and you're like, God, I don't have time for that today. But Jesus tells us that if we will let him lead us and let him guide us, and we will come humbly before him and do what he wants, we will be blessed. And my friends, I want all of us to be blessed. And moving along, the powerless, we need to realize that all of our power comes from God. The Beatitudes there in the middle, the mourners, the meek people, the hungry, They're all in need of someone to help, and the help for these things comes only to God. And when we are powerless, we give everything to God, and He takes care of it. Oh, how we want power sometimes, but we're so much better off when we're simply powerless and give it to God. Sometimes we feel like our hands are all bound up and we're in chains. And we are, because we try to do it on our own. And Jesus says when we just give it to Him, we come from can't to can. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And we get to the point where we realize we can't do it. Our can'ts become cans. And I thought that was the greatest can't or can slide that I had ever seen. This kind of like a t-shirt, doesn't it? That when we realize the cross of Jesus can do everything for us, all of our can'ts become cans. And we give God all of our needs, we will be blessed. And then Jesus says, blessed are you when you are pure in heart. Oh, our hearts. We find out that when we really care for people, when we really care about things, we will be cared for. When we seek God, we find out that we will seek God. It's one thing to say we seek God, but it is another thing to seek God. And C.S. Lewis said something like, only the pure in heart will seek God, because only the pure in heart want to seek God. And when your heart is pure or good, you will be close enough to see God. The purer our heart is, the closer we are to God. And then the next one says, basically, that whatever shape our heart is in is what we see. Have you ever thought about that? When I am close to God and I really care about people and I want to help people, I will see that, and I will see God doing great things, and I will be able to do great things through God. Blessed are the pure in heart, because we will see God. And then the heart, blessed are the peacemakers. If we're a peacemaker, we want to make life better for all. We want to seek to stop controversy. We don't engage people in a negative manner. And you were teaching on Wednesday night from Ephesians, and I think the word that the Bible says is don't exasperate your kids. That's not a word we use every day, is it? But it says not to antagonize your kids. And if we're peacemakers, we don't antagonize anybody. When we're peacemakers, we don't have to have our way. We don't have to win all the time. Are y'all competitive? I'm highly competitive. I hate to lose. And I'm not a very good athlete, so I lose there, but I'm not going to lose in a war of words. I'm not going to lose. If you're going to get the best of me, or I'm going to get the best of you, I tend to want to get the best of you. But that's not being a peacemaker. And God says to us, when you do what you can to make peace amongst all people, you will be blessed. And folks, if we're peacemakers, we seek to bring God into each and every situation. Richard, you mentioned the election. Whoo, what would happen if we had people running for office who actually sought to be peacemakers? Have you ever seen such negative commercials? It's awful. Man, guess what happens when a commercial political comes on my television if I'm watching it? Bzz, I mash that little button. I go to something else. And you're really in a mess when you get two channels that you're going back and forth to that both of them have political commercials. Man, I want somebody to be a peacemaker, somebody to show kindness, and somebody to show love. But God tells us that when we're peacemakers, we will be blessed. And so for the next 30 days, I challenge you to be a peacemaker. Give a handshake. Oh, my goodness, the power of a simple handshake. I never will forget when I was in school, me and somebody getting a fight. And poor old Danny Chandler, I don't know where he's at this day. I guess he's still alive. I don't know, but it's like we used to fight every day. He was little like me, and it always tore him up that I was a half inch taller than him, so you know he was little. But he'd always want to buck up and fight, and we'd just go at it. And we'd get caught, and the teacher'd make us shake hands, and that was the hardest thing in the world. But oh, what good it did to shake somebody's hand or to hold somebody's hand. Husbands and wives, if you get mad at each other, hold your spouse's hand, and I assure you it's hard not to make peace just when you have those hands touched. It's important to be peacemakers and to make peace with everybody you can. Mother Teresa said, works of love are always works of peace, and if you want to be a peacemaker, show love. And then I found the peacemaker promise, and I hope all of us can take this. I will be a peacemaker today and every day with all my actions and all my thoughts and everything I say. And then I couldn't help but think of the song that says, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Then finally, Jesus said, blessed if we're persecuted. Do you think Jesus was giving his listeners a glimpse of the future? Jesus knew that he would be persecuted. Jesus knew that the church would be persecuted. And Jesus knew that we would face persecution. Jesus tells us we will be persecuted for his sake. And anytime we seek to do what is right, we're going to catch grief for it somewhere. It's almost like they're a target on us for being righteous. Anybody today that does anything that's good is like, it's almost like you're targeted for doing good, for being righteous. And I hope that we'll realize that. Jordan, you're asleep back there. There we go. And I gave you a couple hints, but you do a wonderful job. I don't say keep up anyway. But when you're righteous, somebody's going to be gunning for you. Because people don't like to be good, and people don't like anybody. It's a whole lot easier to be mean. It's a whole lot easier to pick on somebody than it is to be picked on. I think about the world today, and there's people being persecuted for the cause of Christ. I think about the ISIS and people. And then there's dangerous places in the world. Jordan, if you'll show that map of those places where you're persecuted for being a Christian. And then the stats on the next one that say, each month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith, 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed, and 772 forms of violence are committed against Christians. Some of that's not here. Some of it is. But folks, I assure you this, that if you try to do what is right, somebody's going to give you a hard time. But Jesus says, if you'll do what's right, and you'll be heckled, you'll be made fun of, you'll be persecuted for my sake, you will be blessed. Father, I would say to you today that if you'll be a blessing to others, you will be blessed. What I want you to take home today is this. Life is not always easy. But if you will follow the teachings of Jesus, especially those given in the Beatitudes, you will experience blessings you cannot imagine. Now, don't hear me saying blessings always money. There's TV evangelists that say, you will be blessed if you will give so-and-so. But blessings are not always in the form of money. Blessings are in the form of happiness and peace that you can't explain to anybody. And then I ask you, will you try it for 30 days? Mostly, if you will seek God in his kingdom first, everything will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And finally, the last slide, it says, when we put God first, everything else will fall into place. Five P's. Just basically following the Beatitudes for 30 days. And if you'll try it, I think you'll like it. And I guarantee you this, if you'll do things like show love, show kindness, show care, try to be a peacemaker and do what is right, not only will you like yourself more, but everybody around you will like you more. I guarantee you, especially a peacemaker, if you'll learn to be a peacemaker, People will like to be around you a whole lot more than you than if you're always causing trouble or antagonizing somebody. So in the next 30 days, follow the Beatitudes. Let them be your attitudes, and you'll be pleasing to God, and you'll be happy. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much that you love us and care for us. Thank you that you gave us your Son to teach us how to live, to be happy, to be blessed. And God, let us take these 8 Beatitudes that he gave us. Let them apply them to our lives. And Lord, help us to realize that we will be blessed, we'll be happy, and life will be good. Father, what more could we want than to be happy and to be blessed? Lord, help us to be blessings to other people, showing them the way to you. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone here. Let us make any decision that we need to make today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation, and it's I Surrender All. And the invitation is this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, come and I'll tell you how to make Jesus Lord of your life. But maybe you're here and you just need to rededicate. Or maybe you're here and you need to follow the Beatitudes even more. Whatever you need to do, you make that decision today as we stand and as we sing.